Well, welcome to the call tonight. I know people are probably feeling kind of concerned, wondering just exactly where we're headed. What is the Lord saying? And that's what I'd like to tell you, at least of those things that he shared with me. Others might be saying other things in addition to, but for right now, what I'm going to share with you tonight is what he's asked me to share. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. You know all things from beginning to end, and we're so thankful that you do. We're so thankful that a day is as a thousand years to you. Nothing takes you by surprise. So your word says even those things that seem as though they are accidents are really planned by the Lord. So we know that nothing takes you by surprise. And again, we're so thankful. We're so thankful that you're willing to talk to us, to help us understand and know what you're saying in and through every situation. And we're so thankful that you empower us to walk through the difficult times, and you lead us in joy and thanksgiving where we will allow you to lead us. So tonight, as we share, touch our hearts. Fill our hearts with faith. Fill our hearts with joy. Fill our hearts with the knowledge that everything that happens, you are above it all. And you will lift us over the storm, carry us on the wings of eagle, and get us right where you want us to be, right on time. Thank you, Lord. Help me present what you've given me so that I can be clear and concise, and that you will express yourself, filling us full of faith, full of hope, full of understanding for the days ahead. In your precious name, amen. Okay. I want you to know that you probably are going to say to this, yeah, we figured this out. But I want to affirm you from this ministry that we are well aware that although our president is not a Billy Graham, he is nevertheless a man chosen by God for such an hour. He does make mistakes, but he is doing far more right than we could ever find that he would be doing wrong. The important thing is God has given him an understanding heart to know which way to walk. And if he makes a mistake, he seems to quickly know how to retreat from that mistake and lead us back on course so quickly that at times we don't even know that he's made a mistake until we're back on course. So thank God for that. He's not a weak starling. He is an eagle. He's not a little house kitten. He's a lion. He's not a barking dog. He's a bear. And of late, we're learning, he's not the nice little my granddaughter used to call spotted cows. Look at the polka dot Kelly. And it was just so cute. I mean, he's not a polka dot Kelly. He's a bull. He seems to be a man who is unaccustomed to fear. He walks in faith. He understands working in faith. The minute he might realize that he's not exerting the faith that he knows he needs to, he quickly takes the step to move forward in faith. He tries not to be presumptuous. It is amazing to see how this man has walked day after day after day in the presidency when he's got this part of the country that just wants to stop his every step. And if they can't stop it, they want to make it as difficult for him as they possibly can. And they most certainly don't want to see him have a second term in office. So we get that. I think we all understand all of that. But it seems to incite HOTUS. It doesn't seem to frighten him. It seems to incite him to be more bold still, more determined than ever. He's going to carry this nation through to victory in valor. Like Reagan, he is regaining the respect of the nations. As America goes, so goes the world. And I'm so thankful that the man at the helm wants God to have a voice in this nation. He may not be a radical evangelist. That's not what he's called to do. He's called to relate to the world and to relate to the church. He's called to relate to the nations and to Israel. And he seems to be doing a pretty fine job of that. So we're thankful for that. It amazes me where he walks and how God speaks to him, how God leads him. If any of you have been at our gatherings, you can look at the pinwheels that Elizabeth and I created for one of our gatherings to tell you where the elite were headed and where God was headed in this nation. You look over those pinwheels, and you're going to think that Trump was sitting in the auditorium hearing everything we were saying because he's working on every issue we brought forward. It's just amazing to me. Here at this ministry, we love him. We love him. We believe in him. I found, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago, I was talking to Ricky, who is my daughter, and I said to her, "Well, you know, I've known since 2012 that this man Trump was going to be our next president." She said, "No, Mom, I think it was 2016. I said, "Oh, okay. Seems like it was 2012, but you might be right." And so within a couple of weeks, I'm looking through one of my journals, actually for something else, and found where I had written in 2012, Trump was going to be the president of the United States soon. And so in 2012, God started preparing me and maybe even warning me that Trump was going to be the president. He was going to be a good president because he was going to fulfill God's will. And I don't care how amiable and how much we love everybody else that has at one time or another filled the presidency. But my dear friends, my dear brothers and sisters, I think that we can all agree that not one, at least in my lifetime, has officiated God's will as much or as perfectly as President Trump has and is going to before it's over. So we can only thank God for him. Now, having said all that, I know you guys all know the scripture that tells us that God will do nothing except he talks to his prophets. And I know it doesn't say prophetesses, but I'm reminded that in heaven there is no such thing as male or female, although I have seen male or female, and I've seen male and female and angels. So I don't think that when that was spoken, that he was meaning it quite in the same sense that we do. But there are female prophetesses, and I'm one of them. So the Lord is talking. Elizabeth sat down early this morning and shared pages of notes from visions that I've received and shared with her just in the last couple years. And boy, oh boy, so much has already come to pass, and some is in the process with very little left to occur. So praise God. So we must be heading into a new season. Amen? Amen. All right. I hope you have paper and pen, or you are real fast on your iPhone. And I'll try to talk a little bit slow so that I can make sure you get all this information. So number one, everything is going to be all right. We're going to go down, and we are. We're already on that road. It's a bumpy road. I saw this several years ago. We were, my team was in a bus, and the name of the bus was Economy. And the bus driver suddenly made a right-hand turn down a road that was real close to the northern border. And as we started down that road, I saw that it looked real bumpy, like a country road. And so I said to one of the men that was on the team with us at that time, I said, are we where we're supposed to be? This road seems more like a country road, and it's bumpy. And he said, it'll be all right. Just relax. It'll be all right. And the bus driver overheard us talking and turned around and said, it'll be all right. We're right on time. And we're right where we need to be. It'll be all right. And so here we are. We're on that bumpy road, and it's going to stay bumpy for a little bit. But not to worry. God is going to bring us through. In fact, rejoice. Don't allow fear to grip you. You're too valuable to God. He needs your faith. He needs your intercession. He needs you to stand. What does the Bible tell us? And having done all to stand, stand some more. So even when it looks like everything is beyond hope, maybe even to the ridiculous, the instruction is stand. And you can't stand without faith. So keep your faith strong and rejoice. Every time you hit a bump, rejoice. Because we're one bump closer to the end, which is going to end up being all right. Number two, the Lord spoke to me several days ago, and he said to me, America is in her time of tabernacles. Now, I'm sure everyone on this line realizes that tabernacles is a biblical feast, and it was given to the Jewish people. But the church should be celebrating tabernacles also. But just in case we're not, let me say this. When he said that America is in her time of tabernacles, this is what he meant. He was just starting to get the ball of prosperity rolling. And he saw that people wanted to roll with that ball so quickly that they were leaving God behind. Not that they were angry with him, offended with him, too busy with him, for him, none of the above. They just got busy being busy about the prosperity that was coming to this nation. So the Lord decided he was going to put us in a season of tabernacles. And tabernacles, probably as you all already know, is the time when the Jewish people, no matter how nice the home is, whether they're poor or rich, whether they're living in a small home or a mansion, it matters not. On tabernacles, you were to put up a tent in the backyard and live in it through the feast. You know, and put your donkey or your camel there on the stake beside your tent. And remember what it was like traveling through the desert. Remember who brought you out. Remember who it is that is going to bless you. And as you're sitting in that tent, this is why it's called tabernacles. As you're sitting in your tent, you were to go over the blessings of God and all that he did to bring you out of Egypt and to bring you into a place of blessings in the promised land. So you discuss these things every night with the family throughout the time of Pentecost. Now, I don't know if Ken and Debbie are on the phone, but if they were, they could tell you a whole lot more about Pentecost than I can. But I'm not going to ask him to do that tonight because I've got too much to give you. But I will say to you, it might be worth it to do a little study on your own regarding this Feast of Tabernacles. Even though we are early for that, in God's calendar for America at this time, we're right on time. So he's calling this Tabernacles, America's Tabernacle. And if we are in tabernacles, we are not under the fist of the enemy. We are under the tent of God's providential care. And that's where our minds need to go as we feed our faith. God, not man, reigns. Intercessors, number three, intercessors. You have a critical role to play at this time. We're so thankful for you. We love you so much. You just don't know. We really, really love you. And we're so, so very thankful for you because we understand with you how important you are to the survival of this nation. But not only the survival, to the blessings of this nation. The angel of the Lord came to me when we were still living in Nola. Big, glorious angel. And he stood in front of me and he said, and he pointed upward and he said, he sent me to tell you that he is going to richly bless with many blessings those who stand with you till the end. Tell the people that he is rich in his goodness. And out of his goodness, he is going to bless you beyond what you can conceive for standing with this ministry on behalf of America. The only thing that the Lord is asking is that we do it until the explosion of glory comes, because it's coming, and it's coming because you pray. It doesn't matter how weak you feel in prayer, because the prayer isn't dependent on your sense of strength or weakness. The prayer is dependent on God's desire to answer us. So don't even pay attention to how you feel. You just pray, because God's going to bring us thing all the way through to extravagance. Just write down next to number 3, bring us through to extravagance and blessings from above. Then we have number 4, the feds, the currency change. We're moving, and I'm sure that you all know this, we're moving from the fiat money to the asset-based money. Years ago, when we first moved here, I think, up here in Washington, I had two visions, actually. One was of the fact that we were moving to this asset-based currency. I know they keep saying gold-based, but that's not what it's going to be. It's going to be gold and asset-based. So, other things as valuable, even more valuable than gold, will be part of that base. We're moving away from the fiat currency, which means worthless, endless, trifling paper currency. We're moving from that to the asset-based currency. That's the goal. Now, I think Trump wants to keep a semblance of the central bank. But if he does do that, he is not going to keep it as the current Federal Reserve. He knows that that is based on a different currency value, and he doesn't want that. He has no desire for that kind of thing to remain in this country. In fact, any country that has broken away from the cabal has closed down their central bank, or they've turned it into a true financial entity that wants to do what is right regarding the public. So we're not going to end up with the same kind of monster we have now. And if we don't have a Fed, we may just not continue having the IRS. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Now, that might be worth anything we have to go through to have that.
Amen.
because that was created to pay the Federal Reserve bill every year. So we can just rejoice over what's happening in the economy. We're not going to come out of this wishing that we've never seen Trump's face or heard his voice. We're going to be very thankful that God lifted up a strong man, you know, a Cyrus, to do what no man had ever done before, a King David, to do what no man had ever done before, a Joseph, to do what no man had ever done before. With Joseph, you have a man that is a bull. That was a prophetic word spoken over him by Moses. With David, you have the representative of the lion, the king. And with Cyrus, you have the man who not only sets Israel to freedom, but he also helped build the temple. And President Trump, we're going to look back in days ahead. We're going to look back and see that he was instrumental by the hand of God to help the church build the temple, the last day temple, in which he is going to display his glory. And you might say, now how can that be? Well, when have we had a president that has been so protective of the church? I don't remember one in a long, long time. And the reason God has put that on his mind is because his defense for the church to have the liberty she needs is so that that temple can be built, the temple of praise, the temple of power, the temple of authority in the earth. We're not talking about the Jewish temple, although they're going to be building that too, and I'm so thankful. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the temple that the church was called to build. We're building it, even as we speak tonight. President Trump's vision is to break the stronghold of the New World Order, not just over America, but in the world. He wants that thing broken. And the best way to break it is through the financial institutions, through the economy, world economy. You've got to create nations that are sovereign. That's what has to happen. And that is what he's helping the nations do. He says, America first, America first. But listen to what that means. America has to come to the place of moving ahead as the father of the nation and as the leader and teacher and counselor of the nations. So as America goes, so goes the world. And believe me, and I'm sure you already know this, the world is paying attention to what we're doing. So, although he doesn't tell us that he's helping to transform the world, he is, and he knows it. America first, America first, but what he isn't saying, and step by step, lockstep with us, are the nations that want sovereignty, freedom, liberty, and all the things that God designed the nations of the world to have. In doing this, and in doing this work to destroy the New World Order, we have an opportunity to see God's will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. What happens after his work is done with, in, and through the church is going to be difficult. It's going to be troublesome. It's not going to be a candy lane. But until that day comes, God has decreed that America will be free. He has decreed it. I heard his voice. America will be free. America was created to be free, is what he said. So he's working with us to make sure that his decree, his will be done. And in doing so, many nations in the world are going to take the same liberty, because they're going to see what God does in this country. And they're going to think, you know, this is so much better than where we were headed. So let's get in lockstep with America and do what we need to do to bless our own nation. It's going to be wonderful. I promise you, it will be. God's perspective is, pray, prepare, pray, and prepare for him to come. Through all that we're going through right now, in faith, in joy, in determination of your will, pray and prepare for Christ to come, because he wants to come. He was going to have to visit the world without America had we not worked in the work of the gathering for the last 20 years. That's what he told me to my face. So we have done this work. We've been faithful to all that we have understood that we have had to do. And you've been part of that. So he is going to visit America, and he's going to keep America right in front of the parade. Praise God. And we must prepare. Prepare in righteousness. Prepare in faith. Prepare in love. Prepare in glory. Prepare for the coming of the Lord. I'm not talking about the, the great catching away. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the great and glorious move of God that's going to sweep over this earth. Prepare and pray until we see his foot land on this earth with the glory all around him. People are worried about what they're going to do financially. Even some people worry about what they're going to do for food. And I only want to say one thing. If the economy crashed completely, and I'm not saying it's going to, but if that is the case, if it were going to be the case, the Bible says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken. And I promise you, we're not going to see that either. I can remember George Mueller. I can remember reading his biography when I was just a babe in the Lord, and saw how he fed his orphans every single day through prayer. They would sit down at the table to eat and have no food. By the time they finished praying, the food was waiting on the front porch. They never knew where it was going to come from, but those kids never went hungry. And we may have times like that. I've read a gazillion stories about, in communist countries, how they've done what George Mueller did. Set their families down to eat when there was no food. And they would either read the Bible, and when they were finished, Their bodies felt like they had just digested a full meal, and they never suffered want, or food would suddenly be there. So we never worry about stuff like that. If you can stock up, stock up. But always, if someone comes to you and they're hungry because they didn't stock up, don't be afraid to give. God is never, ever going to fail his church. Now, again, I'm not saying we're going to come to that kind of situation. I'm just kind of pulling it on the ridiculous to make my point. Trust him. Trust him. His name is faithful. God is, at this very moment, making a way to the promised blessing. You say, maybe you might say, how can you say that? Things are getting worse, not better. No, they're not. They're just getting moved around. Better situated. There's a work of reformation that is taking place, and that means that things move. Things alter. Things are changed. Things may look worse, but actually, they're being moved into something better. He is making a way for his blessing. And sometimes, in his making a way for his blessing, I can remember up here in the Northwest, and this is a great example, they shut the silver mines down, and this was shortly after I got saved, maybe 2 years. They shut the silver mines up here down. And there's a tri-county area that is the eastern side of Coeur d'Alene. I was invited to speak there in a tent meeting. And I'm telling you, I saw some of the most phenomenal miracles I have ever seen in my life, in anybody's ministry. I don't have time to go through them all, but the blind receive their sight, the deaf receive their hearing, people who are maimed were made whole, people who had mental shortness, people who were mentally retarded were healed. And these were all confirmed medically. We saw phenomenal things happen in this community where the people had been out of jobs for 2 years. But may I say this? None of the Christians in that area ever wanted for anything. And when God visited them with such a revival, one of the key principal doctors up there happened to be the doctor of so many of these miracle patients that he wanted to come and see what in the world was going on. And so it was kind of funny, but boy, it was so wonderful. God is preparing a way for his blessing. He's going to take us back before it's over. And I'm not saying this is going to happen tomorrow, a month from now, or even many months from now. But we are now moved into the cycle of this coming about. He is going to bring America back to the purity and innocence of the 50s. And the ones that are going to be most affected by this is going to be the youth. Satan has tried so hard to destroy the children, the youth, the young adults. But in this great move of God, those are going to be key areas of focus for the Lord, and he's going to bring this nation back to the purity and innocence of the 50s. We're going into waves of God. And let me tell you specific areas it's going to touch. Healing. Healing in many ways, many areas, but healing. Physical, emotional, mental, financial healing. Miracles. We're going to see miracles like I just shared with you. And much, much more. We're going to see such miracles as probably only Jesus himself ever saw. It is going to be an amazing thing. It is going to be healing and reconnection of the family. You see it there in Malachi, and that's what's going to happen. God is going to visit the family. There is going to be a dynamic release of the kingdom in the earth. We have never seen heaven's authority outside of the movement of Christ or of men like Moses. But in this church age, we haven't seen that. But it's coming. And in fact, we are right there on the tip of the iceberg where heaven's authority is going to be released and everything it touches is going to be turned to the beauty of heavenly reality. And as I already said, there's going to be healing of finances. Even people who are not born again, even the secular media is starting to say, we are experiencing like something like we have never experienced before. We don't understand it. We only know that it's happening. And that is that there is a transition of money from the wealthy to the poor. There is a transition of money happening in America. The wealth of the wicked is being turned over to the righteous. It's just the beginning. We've got a lot more to go of that. So praise God. But, you know, the tides start to lap a little bit at the shore. Then it goes out. Then it comes in, laps a little harder. Then it goes out. Then it comes in, laps even harder. And with every return to the shore, there are greater blessings. And that's what's going to happen. So we're just at the very beginning. So rejoice. Don't think about the things that will bring you sadness. Think about that you belong to God. You're His. And if a millionaire is going to take care of his sons, how much more is He who created and owns all of creation going to take care of his own? Please, again, keep writing. Pray for President Trump. Don't fail to pray for him. This team prays for him all the time. We love him. And the more we pray for him, and the more we see the battles that he's in, and the things that he's doing in spite of the battles, the more we love him, the more we respect him. We see his weaknesses, but somehow it doesn't matter. What matters is he's yielded enough to God to do what he was put into office to do, and that is to turn America into a blessing for the world. So pray for him. Pray for him to receive a counsel on high, along with the wisdom, the understanding on how to bring this counsel forth and to fulfill it. Pray for physical and emotional strength. Pray for grace. pray that God will continue speaking to him through the seven spirits of God. And pray that that armor that God has put on him, I've seen the armor. It is glorious. My daughter has seen it. It is glorious. Pray that that armor will stay intact and that it will protect him. And then pray that the Jesuits will have nothing concerning Trump. He's not going to yield to them. They're not going to be able to oppress him. Whatever they want, God wants the opposite, I can promise you. Obama was firmly under the thumb of the Jesuits, but not Trump. So pray that God will just keep them away from him and that their counsel will fall to the ground, and then Trump can delight himself in stomping it underfoot. He's in the process of shaking the nation. And we must not fear that. Every nation has something that needs to be shaken that would keep God from blessing them. So we want the nations to be shaken because we want God to be able to invade these nations and bless the people of the earth. Pray for the coming forth of the Mighty One. These men and women are surely arising and have been for a little time. But pray that they will arise to full valor. I talk about these men and women in my book, Prepare for the Winds of Change. And this is the date for it. We want to see them arising throughout the whole earth. We want to see God glorified, and we want to see his people magnify him. We want to see his people walk in holiness and in righteousness, faith and love, wisdom, and under the fountain of the blessings of the Lord. Nothing would please the Lord more than that. After all that he wants to do for his church, he wants to save whoever will. So you can pray for that too. I just want to think. I think I want to read a couple things for you. I'm reading this. These are all scriptures, but I'm reading it out of my book, Prepare for the Winds of Change. This book was published, I don't know how many years ago, it's been decades, and it's still relevant. So we still make it available at our office. And the Lord, the God of their fathers, sent to them persistently by his messengers because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. That's the Lord's heart. When he sends people like me into a place, I don't know about other prophets in this nation. I just know that with my particular calling, if he's sending me in, somebody's in serious trouble. And the work that he has me do helps to move them out of trouble and into a place of blessing. And all I do is speak the word of the Lord. So that's what he's doing for America. He's sending messengers like me to America and to other countries that he might bless the people because he has compassion on the people. He has compassion on you. He has compassion on those for whom you pray. He has compassion on this nation. I want to share an experience that I had that really kind of propelled me in the propelled me into the field of the prophetic. I was sitting in my family room when the Lord gave me a vision. First, my mind went blank and my eyes saw only dark. Then in a split second, I saw out in front of me the United States field turning end over end. The closer it got, the larger it became until it was the size of a man. Coming at a standstill nearly 2 feet from me, it then disappeared. Next, I saw the corner of a Bible with a black leather cover on it. It looked as though someone was thumbing the corner of the pages in rapid succession. Just as before, it started a long distance from me, and as it came closer, it too grew equally as large. At about the same place, it stopped and disappeared. Then a cross appeared. It too came from a great distance away, and as it moved closer and grew exceedingly large, it stopped about 2 feet in front of me. Simultaneously, as a voice, it sounded like it was reverberating down through a long tunnel, spoke the words, "Liberty through Christ Jesus." These same words appeared in an arch over the cross. Why am I sharing that with you? Because this experience is as relevant today as it has ever been. This nation will know liberty through Christ. And as he lives this nation, whether he is a father disciplining his son, or whether the son has bowed the knee and the father can now bless him, wherever we stand, we belong to him. He's the one that helped us found this nation. We belong to him. There may be many worshiping other gods, but the nation in and of itself belongs to him. And as long as we do belong to him, he'll use us to be a leader of the nations, and he'll use us to be a friend to Israel, that his will can be done in the earth. Liberty through Christ Jesus. You can pray that. And it's the prayer he wants to answer. The Bible says, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land." People in the church want to blame the unchurched for all that's happening, every wrong thing that happens. People that are not in the church, as funny as it may seem to you and to me, want to blame the church for everything it is going wrong. But wasn't that happening in the days of Elijah? When Elijah and King Ahab met each other, did he not accuse Elijah as being the one that was troubling the land? Now, to you and me, we look at that and we think, Ahab, there was something wrong with your head. Your head. And there was something wrong with your heart. Something wrong, maybe even mentally, for you to be a Hebrew and think that the problem was Elijah. We think you should look in the mirror and see if you can't look a little harder until you find where the real problem is. So we don't understand people blaming the church. But that's what they do because, you know, none of us want to take responsibility for anything when it's this bad. But the truth is, there is a certain responsibility that the church plays, and that is this. If we, who are called by His name, are walking in righteousness and in holiness, our nation will prevail, even if the sinner can't seem to find a way to connect. Because He does, our God does what He does in, through, and for the church. And for the Jewish people, one of the great reasons He is determined to bless America is because we have been a refuge for the Jewish people. So we take the gospel across the face of the earth. We're a refuge to His people. Really, there's probably no nation on the face of the earth that desires to bless the world like America does. Maybe never has there been. So God wants to give something back to us that is very, very special. And we're just going to keep praying until He's able to do that. So stand, having done all to stand, stand some more and rejoice. And let's pray. Father, we love You. How can we help but love You? You are so gracious. You are so merciful. The plans that You have for us are for good and not for evil. You are amazing in Your love. You are full in Your compassion. Your mercies are new morning by morning. So even in the areas we don't deserve all that You are, Your mercy remains for this nation, toward Your church, toward Your people Israel. What an amazing quality of love You are. We look to You, and our faces are alive with glory. Our hearts, our souls, our eyes thrive in Your life. Your word is to us a light in our path, a protector along the way, a covering over our heads, shielding us from the heat of the day. You give us the privilege of prayer that will help us know what You're saying and how You're saying to go. You help us to know the beginning from the end, as only You can. You don't give any one man all the counsel, but among Your prophets and in Your word and by Your spirit, the counsel is there and it is sure. And we thank You for that, Lord. You anoint us, and You tell us to put our feet on the head of our enemy, Satan. You anoint us to have victory in the land. You anoint us to stand in the gap for our president and his administration. You anoint us to pray for the council of all the government leaders, state, local, and federal. No one is greater than you, not even Nancy Pelosi. No one is greater than you. You knew before, and you've already given the answer to the end. If we will just stay in faith, just keep believing and keep praying, stand in the gap for our nation, we're going to have the joy of heart when we see you fulfill everything you promised. Who is like our God? We praise you. We thank you. We extol your lovely name. We speak of your holiness. We lift up the power and the magnanimity of who you are. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. We love the angels you sent to guide us, to lead us, to help us, to strengthen us. We love the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. We're so thankful that we have family there waiting for us to come to them. Because you're God, you're eternal, you're forever. And your goodness is forever and ever and ever. It is enduring to all generations. Thank you. Tonight we look at our president and for all those around him. And we say to you, be at peace. Be wise. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Stand like the lion you are. Be the bull of Joseph, pushing the enemies back to the right and to the left. You understand faith. Stand in faith. Walk in faith. Talk in faith. Be the man you were created to be for this position at this time. We pray for you and we praise God for you. Stand in the wisdom that he gives you. Stand in the understanding and the knowledge. Stand in the favor that he's given you. Lead as he leads you. As he gives you light, be the light of the path of this nation, that we may follow the purposes and plans of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be a man of God in that office. We thank you for the Davidic mantle that is upon you. We thank you for receiving it. We thank you for moving in it. We thank you for moving in the mantle of Hezekiah that is upon you and the mantle of Joseph that is upon you, the mantle of Cyrus that is upon you. Our Father has given you so much. And we thank you for having the wisdom to walk in what he's given you for our good. Mordecai did all that he did in the days of Esther because he knew that what God was doing in him was for the good of all of Israel. Be as Mordecai. What you're doing to prepare America for salvation and to prepare Israel for salvation. It is a day of wonder, a day of praise, a day of glory. Father, you are our God. Shine through this man. Shine. Let us look into his eyes and see the shining glory of Yeshua. Ruach HaKodesh, Adonai, Yahweh. How great, mighty, and good you are, Father. My heart is lifted up into the heavens because of your goodness. Thank you. The enemy is setting up ramparts to stop your purpose, your plans, your vision for this nation and for the world. And tonight, I'm asking the intercessors to begin to pray in the Spirit, because I'm coming against those ramparts. The Lord showed them to me earlier, and he said, break them down. So please begin to pray in your prayer language. Father, I thank you that you've given us all the authority we need to do this job quickly and thoroughly. Every Luciferian, every Satanist, every witch in this country that is practicing rituals and witchcraft to stop Trump, in Jesus' name, we put you underfoot. We strip you of your authority. You can do whatever you want to do, but when the words leave your mouth, they will fall to the ground. He is not going to be taken down. He will do what he knows to do in the light, and you will not prevail. In Jesus' name, we come against those ramparts. We come against them. We come against them and we bind them. Every ritual that is empowering them, we cancel by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. So you come against him in one way, you will flee before him in seven. No weapon formed against him or this nation will prosper, because they are powerless. From this moment on, they are powerless. No matter what happens from this time until the end of this particular cycle, you will not prevail. Anything you try to do will fall. And if you're not careful, you yourself will fall in the trap. So I speak to you. Be careful. Be wary. Turn to the light. Turn to the truth that you not be hurt. We put a banner over the righteous government God is seeking to bring forth. We put a banner over that government. We put a wall of fire round about President Trump, POTUS, and his family, his administration, his friends, those who are fighting for this nation behind him. We put a wall of fire round about them that they cannot be taken down. We speak to the people on the left who are given over to communism, given over to witchcraft, what the nation calls liberalism. We speak to you and we say to you, recognize that you are bound, that you are traveling a path of confusion that will be to your harm if you do not repent and turn. I plead of you in the name of Jesus to open your eyes while you can, that you will see that the work of your hands are futile, You're trying to build a house, but who can build a house that can stand unless God builds it? We command that wicked house to come down. Come down. Come down. And we command that the Democratic Party fall like a field of dominoes. Fall. Fall in your wickedness. And those who will come out and be redeemed, come. Come out. Flee Babylon. Flee Babylon. Come out into the light and be saved. Father, my heart is so full of joy. We love you so much. You're bigger than all of the darkness that they are trying to blow up and loom before us as though we were just ants in the earth. Well, not only are we not ants, we are the giants in the spiritual realm. They are the ants. Help them see that and save all who will be saved. Send your fire of purification that will bring forth a harvest. And we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. Almighty One, we bow before you and we thank you that you have given us the privilege of being your sons and daughters. In Jesus' name, amen.